complete the first line, then the second, then the third? Allah. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتك ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. ومن يرغب عن ملة إبراهيم إلا من سفه نفسه ولقد اصطفيناه في الدنيا وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين. إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا مباركا يليق بجلال قدره وعظيم سلطانه واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وتركها على المحجة البيضاء لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ويقول كذلك وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب. I bear witness there's no deity worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the sustainer, the provider, and the lawmaker. And I bear witness that he has sent the message through all the messengers and prophets and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last messenger and prophet. May his peace and blessings be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who have followed him until the day of judgment. And I bear witness that Muhammad has perfected the delivery and left with us the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, and the teachings, the practice of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sunnah, that if we hold on to, we will never go astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, O you who believe, fear Allah. Create a barrier between you and the hellfire, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Purify your hearts. وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ And shall a soul see what it has prepared for its tomorrow, for the hereafter. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ And again, fear Allah. Create a barrier between you and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Purify your hearts. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ Indeed, Allah is all-knowing with what you do. He also commands us to cooperate. وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى On righteousness and piety. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ And do not cooperate on transgression and evil or sin. Indeed, Allah is severe in His punishment. Today is a day of Eid. Today is a day of joy and celebration. It is a day of appreciation and praise and thankfulness to the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has bestowed upon us. And the greatest of these bounties is the bounty of Islam, the bounty of submission that we all strive to attain, just like Ibrahim alayhi salam has attained when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Lord told him, submit, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, responded, said, indeed I have submitted, أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, I have submitted to the Lord of the universe. However, this appreciation or thankfulness would not be complete without understanding the whole essence of Eid al-Adha, the Eid of sacrifice. So inshallah, we just spend a few moments reflecting on this wonderful story of submission, of patience, and of belief and sacrifice that took place with Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail in the past, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the story in the Quran, in Surah Al-Saffat. So after Ibrahim alayhi salam went across the land to give the da'wah, and some people did not believe in the da'wah and the message, he went and he made this du'a, إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ, I'm going to my Lord, He will guide me. He will give me, you know, the guidance and He will guide the people. And then he made this du'a, رَبْ هَبْ لِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, Oh Allah, give me a righteous child. This was the number one priority for Ibrahim alayhi salam. He wanted a righteous child first, before the health, before the wealth, before anything else. He wants a child that is righteous. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded, as He tells us in the Quran, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. We have given him good tidings, بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ, with a child that is clement. A child that is not only patient and obedient and has good manners, but is also clement. That is the highest levels of patience. Clemency is when someone has the authority, the power, and the right to take revenge, but yet they do not do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of His names is Al-Halim, the Clement. He is the creator of the universe. He gives everyone their provisions. He has the right to punish the disbelievers. He has the ability to punish the disbelievers. And He has the justice and the right to do that, but yet He is Clement. He lets these disbelievers move on with their lives to give them a chance that maybe they would repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah gave him these glad tidings. Oh Ibrahim, we're giving you a child that is Haleem, that is clement, not just patient, but someone who will recognize and appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعِي. So now Ismail is an older boy, someone that could walk with Ibrahim alayhi salam. The scholars say maybe 13 years old or so, like a young teenager. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعِي. And listen to this beautiful conversation between a father and a son. قَالَ يَا بُنَيِّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنْ أَذْبَحُكَ. My dear son, I have seen in the dream that I am to slaughter you. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. So what do you think about this? Ibrahim alayhi salam is getting this inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his sleep, in his dream. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the prophets and the messengers, he said that we prophets of Allah, when we sleep, our hearts are awake. They're not like the rest of the normal people. The heart sleeps. Their hearts are awake. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he got this dream the first day, he wasn't sure, was it an inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or something from shaitan? So he waited and he, you know, went over this dream, and the scholars say this is why they call it Yawm al-Tarwil. And then he had the dream a second night. So he knew, Arafa annahu haqq. He knew that it is truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they call that day Yawm al-Arafa. And then the third time he got this dream, he went to execute the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was called Yawm al-Nahr, which is the Yawm of Eid. قَالَ يَا بُنَيِّ أُنْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Oh my dear son, what do you think about this matter? And Ibrahim alayhi salam is the prophet of Allah, the messenger of Allah. He has been given the guidance. He has been through so many tests. He was thrown into the fire, and the fire was peace and cold upon him. It was peace, barakan wa salam. And he was put through so many tests with his father and so on and so forth. So he knows he's on the haqq. He could have just went and got his sword or knife, and while Ismail alayhi salam was sleeping or doing something from behind, he could just cut his neck off and the matter was done. He would have fulfilled the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and would not have to go through the emotions of a father who has to take the life of his own son by his own hand. But look at the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He inspired Ibrahim to ask his son, what do you think about this matter? And from this are great lessons for us as fathers and us as teenagers as well. Number one, we have to consult with our children, even if it's something that is already clear and done in the deen. Someone does not pray their fard, a 16-year-old, we cannot just go say, I can't keep reminding you to pray, because that's going to deter them from the deen. But maybe we should go and consult with them. My dear son, I'm worried about you. What do you think I could do to help you pray so that we could go to Jannah together? And this is what Ibrahim alayhi salam was doing with Ismail. He wanted to give Ismail the opportunity because he knows that he's a Halim son. He's a son who has patience. He wanted him to give him the opportunity to say, yes, my father, go ahead and do this. So that on the day of judgment, the angels could witness and say, oh Allah, he accepted your test. It's not just that he was slaughtered by his father, but he accepted the test. So this is an example of a conversation that has care in it from the father and consultation with his son. He controlled his emotions. He went as a very rational person and asked his son, what do you think we should do in this matter? This is a severe test. This is a very, very big test when we think about it. He did not question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, why do I have to go through this test? I'm your prophet, I'm your messenger. Why do you have to put me through this test? فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. So let's look at the response of this young teenager. يَا أَبَتِي, my dear father, اِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. Do what you have been commanded. سَتَجِدُونِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. You will find me by the will of Allah, the one who told you to do this order from among the patient. And this is another beautiful thing in Ismail alayhi salam. He knew that there's no way to go but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then, again, this reminds us that no matter what we do, if we sin, or no matter what mistakes we fall into, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can return to. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ لِعِبَادِ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Tell my servants who have transgressed upon themselves to never despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah forgives all the sins. Even associating a partner with him as long as this person becomes a believer before they pass away. As long as they become a believer before they pass away, Allah will forgive them, and it is as if they have been born again on Islam. So we see the confidence of the 13-year-old saying, my father, go ahead, you are on the truth. We know that this is a test, so let's go ahead and execute the command of Allah. Inshallah, through his will, I will be among the patient. I don't know how, but inshallah, Allah will make it easy for me. Because I'm dependent on Allah. Because I am someone who has yaqeen, who has full confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sincerity in Him. Today we see many of our youth who think that they can hustle with their parents or with other people or with Allah or with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they go around the lands transgressing upon people and their properties and so on and so forth. Just a couple of days ago, a brother was telling me there's a new Muslim gang in Montgomery County called the Kufi Gang. They go around robbing people and they have their kufis on, so people just started calling them the Kufi Gang. But Ismail, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him, إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقٌ وَعَدٌ. He was sincere and truthful in his promises. He just doesn't say, yeah, inshallah, I'll take care of this, and then he doesn't take care of it. And again, this is another problem we're seeing in our communities. Whether we're adults or young people, we promise, we talk too much, but we never deliver. We never stick to our words. We never stick to our words. And the Prophet ﷺ said, one of the attributes of a munafiq, of a hypocrite, is someone who promises and does not keep up with his promise. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. So now when they submitted, they both submitted to this test, and he turned his face, he put his face on the ground, and he was about to bring down the knife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ. He called him and said, oh Ibrahim, you have indeed passed the test. قَدْ صَدَّقْتُ الرُّؤْيَا. إِنَّ كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Indeed, this is how we reward the perfectionist. So Ibrahim no longer is just a Muslim. He's a perfectionist. He's a muhsin. He has a higher level of iman. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the universe, the Lord of the Lords, is telling us that this is the clear big test. This is a clear big test that they went through. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. And we have sacrificed, we have spared Ismail with a great sacrifice. that lamb that came down, or ram that came down from the Jannah. And some scholars say it was the lamb that Habib gave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sacrificed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other scholars say it was a ram that was raised in Jannah for 40 seasons, for 40 seasons. And Allah subhanahu has brought it down to spare Ismail alayhi salam. وَتَرَقْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخَرِينَ. And we have left this until later generations could see it, so that you and me and our children and grand-grandchildren can witness this. Every year we can reflect on this very big test during the pilgrimage and the Hajj season. سَلَامٌ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمٌ. Be peace, peace be upon Ibrahim. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is how we reward those perfectionists. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لكم فاستغفرونه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد خاتم الرسل والنبيين. So what is sacrifice? What is fida? And the scholars say it is a form of jihad. Jihad, which is struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by our souls, by our wealth, by whatever means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. And we have sacrificed him with this great sacrifice, or we have spared his life with this great sacrifice. And this past Sunday, in our youth halaqah, and for those who don't know, we have a youth halaqah every Sunday at 11 o'clock for teenagers 13 through 20. So inshallah, bring your children, or you know, come and bring them inshallah every Sunday 11 o'clock. So we ask them this question. When you go home inshallah, write down on a piece of paper some of the sacrifices that you have made for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that next year inshallah you can keep them up or do more. So one brother raised his hand and he said, I sacrifice because I come here every week. And I attend, you know, this gathering. I said, mashallah. So, you know, people asked him, how's this? He said, I leave my video games home and I come here, listen, and so forth. So alhamdulillah, may Allah guide him. This is a sacrifice. Then another brother raised his hand. He was 13, 14. He said, I sacrifice because a girl asked me to be her boyfriend and I told her no. So mashallah, he's following the footsteps of Yusuf alayhi salam. May Allah protect him and protect all of our youth. But now let's look at this brother when he's 20 years old and he's lawfully married to a very wonderful sister, very caring, very tender, very beautiful. And on the night of their marriage, he leaves this wife and he goes for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is another bigger sacrifice. He's leaving a halal thing for another halal thing. Something that he loves and it's halal for him to do, but he has to go and do something else to call the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Hanzala, one of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did. On the night of his marriage, he left his wife the next day to go and fight in Uhud. And he was martyred in Uhud. But indeed, he sacrificed his life for the Muslimin to protect them. And this is what struggle and what jihad and sacrifice is all about. So sacrifice, the true meaning of sacrifice is to give up halal things that we love, that is permissible for us, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine you have this wonderful dinner. You invited people over to your house, or you went to someone's house. A lot of people, a great big house, very comfortable, a lot of wonderful food, and very social, beautiful gathering. And then you have to leave this gathering for an hour in the middle of it, when everything is just so perfect, and you're so comfortable, to go give some food to a needy family. That's sacrifice. Then you come back and enjoy the rest of the day or the evening with these people. A sacrifice is taking an hour off of your work to go pick up an orphan brother from school once a week or so, to get him an ice cream and then drop him home. That's a sacrifice. A sacrifice is to leave your children and spare that 1 hour that you were going to play with your kids and go help a young brother who needs some help, or and so on and so forth. So we ask ourselves, how many hours a week or a month or a year do we sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are we giving up? There has to be an element of pain. Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail, they were not just enjoying themselves during this test. This is not like two people sitting, okay, let's bring the knife, how are we going to do it? No, these are people who are going through so much pain. Shaitan came to Ibrahim alayhi salam, told him, what are you doing? You're killing your son. So it's not just the test, but it's a test full of other smaller tests. And he started throwing him with pebbles and so on and so forth. So sacrifice has to endure pain. And then there's this scary ayah in Surah At-Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us. And he's saying, قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم. Say, if your families, your fathers, your grandfathers, your children, grandchildren, your uncles, spouses, nephews, all of these people, وعشيرتكم, and your tribes, your extended families, your groups, your communities, وأموال اقترفتموها, and wealth that you have attained in halal, and attained it very difficultly. You have traveled so far to get this wealth. You've worked so hard to get it. In another tafsir, they say, وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا, and commerce, that is, you're worried that it might become stale, or it might not grow, or a business, or a job, or whatever it is that you're getting your provisions from. وَمَسَاكِنٌ تَرْضَوْنَهَا, and houses and homes that you have pleasure with, that you accept, that you love, that you have, comfort and abodes for you. If all of these things are more dear to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, and the struggle, what jihad fi sabili, and a struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then watch out. There's a warning. فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ. Then be careful. There's a warning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. He's telling us, تَرَبَّصُوا. Be on the out, be on the look, until Allah brings His command. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah does not guide those who transgress or those who go deviate from the path, those who leave the path of Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an example, these people who love these things more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger and the Deen, they are like those who deviated from the path. And Allah will punish them with a punishment just like those who has fusuq in their deen, just like those who go astray from the deen. So this is a very scary ayah. This is an ayah that we have to be very aware of it. Do we live our lives? Do we go to our jobs so we can just go to the job? Do we work so we can just, working for the sake of working? Or are we working for the sake of Islam? Are we going to work with the intention that I want to make a lot of money so I could give it to the sake of da'wah, so that I could build a masajid, so I could give da'wah and spread justice? Or am I working so I can accumulate wealth to buy this for my child and, buy a new piece of furniture here and pay the rent there and so on and so forth? Are we living to give da'wah, or are we living to work? Are we struggling just to pay our bills? And the Mufassireen say this ayah is collective to the whole community, not just to a person, but it's to an entire community. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings down His anger, He brings it upon nations. And we have seen this across the world in our times, in different parts of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the very patient, but at times He will punish people to give them the opportunity to come back to them, whether they like it or not, because He is the most merciful. And the difficulty in this life is nothing compared to the difficulty in the hereafter. One day Umar radiallahu anhu told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "O Rasulullah, I love you. I love you more than everything except myself." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you're not a complete believer, Umar. So he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than everything including myself." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, he said, "Al-ana ya Umar. Now, Umar, you have become a believer." And then he mentioned the rest of this hadith, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. He sweared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who controls my soul. لَا يُؤْمِنْ أَحَدُكُمْ. None of you are believers. حَتَّى أَكُونُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَيَلِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ. Until I am dearer to him than his father and his son, وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, and all of people. This is the true believer. This is the true believer who cares about their community, who cares about their brothers, who cares about their deen, and this is the only priority in their life. So when we sacrifice today, or tomorrow, or these days, it is not the meat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is getting our taqwa. He's looking at our taqwa. The angels will write down that this person sacrificed, and as that first blood drop goes on the ground, they have been purified. It'll be written down that they have been purified. So this is the whole essence of sacrifice today, is that we purify our souls. And we try to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to struggle in His cause and in His way. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Should I tell you about the worst, the best and the worst person on earth?" And he said in the hadith, "The worst person is the one who studies the Qur'an, who memorizes the Qur'an, who learns the Qur'an, who reads the Qur'an, but then he does not follow it. He does not do what's in this book. This is the worst person on earth." So let's look at our state of affairs as a community, locally and at the national level. What is our status? It is a sad status. It is a pathetic status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us we are the best nation brought out to mankind because we command good, we forbid evil, and we believe in Allah. But we look around, our schools are crumbling. Our masajid are all separated. Our youth are running away from the deen. We're losing so many youth. There's a lot of people coming into Islam, alhamdulillah, but there's also a lot of people leaving Islam. And it is, you know, roughly a non-scientific statistic, but just an estimate, out of every 100 youth in our community, and this is a very, very positive side, one is a hafiz of the Quran. And 70 don't even come to the masjid. Not even once a year. There are youth that I know, they don't enter a masjid, not even on Eid day. They do not go to Jum'ah. They do not pray the five prayers in the masjid. They don't even come on Eid. How do we expect them to be Muslims 5 years from today? If they're 14 today, what are they going to be like 22 or 25? Are they going to be good fathers? What are these people going to look like? And this is the majority of our youth. Out of every 100 teenager in our community here in this spot of earth, only 4 or 5 would show up for a Isha prayer. Maybe 3 for Fajr. So we're saying 3% of our youth pray Isha prayer in the masjid. Very little numbers. If we think that we have a school with 300 kids, I can tell you we have much more kids in our communities. We have much more, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 folds of this number. So we have a very big problem with our younger generation. We're very separate from them. As fathers, we don't know how they spend their times. We don't even know who their friends are. We don't know how they spend their money. We don't know who they're texting, who they're doing Facebook with. We have no clue. Many of us don't even have a Facebook. Many of us don't even know what's going on in their own household. Now let's look at the bigger community, regionally. We're starting to see more younger brothers in jails and institutions, correctional institutions, 14 and 24 year olds, from all different backgrounds, Pakistanis, Arabs, Africans, white, you name it, in different correctional institutes. In the Laurel Juvenile Center, they have 75 kids between the ages of 14 and 18. 75. Over 50 of them are Muslim. Over 50 of these 75 are Muslim. What are we doing to help these people? What are we doing to help ourselves? Our homicide rate is increasing. Once in a while we hear about a 20-year-old or 22-year-old whose life was taken by, you know, some random firing or someone or whatever it is. May Allah grant them all mercy and forgiveness. We see a lot of brothers now marrying non-Muslim sisters or people, ladies, women. And this is becoming just a normal thing. You know, we're together in school and we get married and so forth. And then the rate of brothers and sisters who just hang out together, go eat at a restaurant and so forth, nothing intimate, but they're just hanging out together and having, you know, a nice meal together, is just alarming. And as if it's something very normal to have this mixed, you know, gender, you know, in different social gatherings and so forth. Now we look at the adults. The adults is, again, so pathetic. We see the tension in the air. We look at our masjids. There's always friction and issues. Masajid can't work with each other. Within the own masjid, there's friction. Everyone has an ego. Everyone is trying to do something, and there's no excuses for his brother. When the Prophet ﷺ said, find 70 excuses for your brother. 70. 70. But we're very quick in pointing out faults at each other. We're very quick in saying, you did not show up, you did not do this, you want to do this, you want to do that. But when it comes to excuses, we're not doing a good job on that. We're worried about pleasing the creation rather than pleasing the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's look at our families. The divorce rate is going up. Again, in different backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds. It is just alarming. And you find 22-year-olds who just got married and they're divorced 6 months later. And you find it in couples who are 50 years old. Subhanallah. We get calls from sisters who are like 52 and 55, the sister. And she's crying, it's like her husband kicked her out of the house. Subhanallah. What kind of man is this? What kind of Muslim? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. The men are responsible over the women. So how can a Muslim man dare to kick out his wife into the street? This is just mind-boggling. What kind of person is this, even if he's not a Muslim? This is not the manners of just a man. And at the national level, Islam is being mentioned left and right. Islamophobia is all over the place. Our sisters are being patted down in the airports. States are saying we don't want Islamic values in our laws and our courts, even if the two parties are Muslim. We don't want this. We don't even want the name mentioned. And so on and so forth. Some brothers, their passports were taken from them this Hajj season, just about 2 weeks ago, when they were going to Mecca. And it was delayed. They lost their flights, and Homeland Security had to buy them new tickets because of some process and what have you and so forth. So this is how much we have become. And this is our current status. We ask ourselves, what are we giving up to fix this? What are we giving up to fix ourselves, to fix our children, to fix our families, to fix our communities? Are we giving up half an hour a week just to turn off that TV and come to the masjid and mix with some brother and say, what can I do? Let me pull up my sleeves, I want to do something. Are we doing that? Are we going down to the neighbor next door and giving him some da'wah? Are we going to another Muslim family who has a problem between the husband and wife and giving them some advice? Are we going to take a class in conflict resolution so we can bring this family together? Or we're saying, no, let's not talk to this family. I don't want to interfere in their issues. They might feel, hurt or whatever. SubhanAllah, there was this brother, 17 years old, who had some emotional issues and depression. And we reached out to him and he said, what's going on? And the first thing he said, Alhamdulillah that someone came and talked to me. I've been waiting for this for so long. I didn't know who to go to. And I was so shy and humble to ask for support and advice. So we have to reach out to each other. We cannot just wait until people come and ask for help. Among us in this gathering, there are a lot of people who lost their jobs. Do we even know who they are? Do we extend our help to each other? Just recently, President Obama was in Indonesia. This is his second trip to a Muslim country. And he mentioned a statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows intentions best than us. But we go by what we see. We can speculate until the day of judgment, whatever we want to speculate. But we go by what we see. He was open and honest. He said the relationships between the US and the Muslim communities has been frayed. It's broken. We're trying to fix it. And it's going to take a while. We've done some work, but it's very little. And there's a lot of more work that needs to be done. At least he had the guts to say that. Many other leaders would not have the guts to say that. So the question we ask ourselves, as Muslims who live in this country, what are we doing? What can we do to improve this relationship? What can we do to improve the perspective of Islam in this country and to help other Muslims around the globe? We live in one of the most wealthiest, if not the most wealthiest country on earth, the most powerful country, the most educated country. We have almost every single resource on this planet in this country. Whether it's capital money, whether it's natural resources, whether it's physicians, doctors, you name it, it's in this country. But are we leveraging any of this? What are we doing? Are we just sitting here, we come to our prayer, and we say, we're not looking into this society, we're not interacting with it. This is not acceptable. Because the Prophet ﷺ, wherever he went, he was a catalyst for change. He was a change agent. He did not just go in there, pray his prayers, and walk out, and have no clue what's going on around him. Islam is to change for the good. And this society is full of illnesses and diseases, whether it's homosexuality, or whether it's poverty, or it's riba, or whatever it is, Islam has the solution for it. So we have to start somewhere. And number one, we have to build a solid foundation with ourselves. We have to fix our characters. We have to teach our children Quran. We have to bring them to the masjid. This is not an option. If you have a teenager, you have to bring them to the masjid once a week, at least. At least one night, bring your son and pray with him here, Isha. We have to start something and keep it consistent. As the Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُ الْأَعْمَالِ أَدْوَمَهَا وَالْقَلْبِ. So start with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for you to start. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah does not put a soul in a position where it cannot handle it. So if you find yourself in a position to serve Allah, then indeed you can serve it. Because just like Ismail alayhi salam was put into this position to submit to Allah, he was able to submit. And Allah, through his ways, made it easy for him and made an out for him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشَاءُ. So to summarize this, inshallah, ورزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. And he gives him provisions from where he would have never imagined. Jihad is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not an option. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran in many places, jihadu, do jihad with exert effort with your souls and your money. So this is not an option for us. A jihad could be to spare 5-10 minutes a day to give guidance, or it could be a big thing. That's up to each one of us, whatever abilities Allah has given us. And then we have to understand the idea of sacrifice. This is something that has to be inculcated into us. Our life and death and our whole existence is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be among those who listen to the call and say, لبيك يا الله. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل لنا شقيا ولا محروما. اللهم نسألك قبل الموت توبة وعند الموت شهادة وبعد الموت جنة ونعيما مقيما. اللهم ارحمنا فوق الأرض وارحمنا تحت الأرض وارحمنا يوم العرض عليك. اللهم احفظ شبابنا وبناتنا واستر عوراتنا وارحم كبيرنا يا عزيز يا كريم يا غفور يا رحيم. اللهم انك عفو كريم حليم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم انك عفو كريم حليم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم انك عفو كريم حليم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين واهلك الشرك والمشركين اعداءك اعداء الدين وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. واخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاه والسلام على سيدنا محمد. تقبل الله منا ومنكم وكل عام وانتم بخير. Inshallah, those who are donating meat, you can bring it today, tomorrow, and the day after, between the hours of 12 and 5 in the lobby, inshallah. We also need some volunteers outside for traffic or parking, so inshallah, we can have 5 or 6 brothers to assist with the parking, inshallah.
Let's hope it's important.